Alldeles strax ska ni få höra en intervju med Dr. Khosrow Isas Nikpey, och han snackar om viktiga grejer. Khosrow är nämligen expert på fibrer. Ja, och så har han ju en doktorsexamen i kemi från Harvard University i Cambridge, så han vet vad han snackar om. Faktum är att han är så hängiven till uppgiften att få människor att äta mer fiber, att han är CEO på Frill som gör fiberrik glass. Känn på den! Nej, men alltså, jag känner att jag måste vara helt ärlig nu och berätta att den här intervjun, ja, den ligger faktiskt i toppskiktet på listan av intressanta intervjuer som gjorts i denna podd. Och det är ju ett gäng vid det här laget. Kanske tycker ni som jag, eller inte. Vi får se.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mia, visste du att 4 av 10 svenskar har problem med magen varje månad och att var femte upplever att magbesvären styr och hindrar dem i vardagen? Och det är faktiskt bara hälften av de här som gör något åt det. Och faktiskt är det bara 20% som har en diagnos.
Jag tänker att det där beror på att det finns så mycket stigma och okunskap när det kommer till magproblem. Att många lider i det tysta och inte gör något åt saken.
Men det finns så mycket man kan göra för att stötta sin maghälsa, och ett sätt, det är att få i sig mer fibrer.
Absolut. För många svenskar får i sig för lite fibrer. Och förutom att se över sin kost så kan man också komplettera med ett fiberrikt tillskott. Och då vill jag lyfta vår sponsor Husk, som vi har ett betalt samarbete med och som gör tillskottet Husk Mage i balans, som då mycket riktigt har ett högt innehåll av just fibrer.
Husk Mage i balans är ett kosttillskott som är gjort på kostfibrer från psylliumfröskal. Och psylliumfröskal bidrar till en normal matsmältning och en normalt fungerande tarmfunktion både vid lös och hård mage.
Husk Mage i balans finns i 3 olika varianter. Husk Mage i balans klassik, mjölksyra bakterier och nyheten jordgubb, som förutom psylliumfröskal också innehåller krispiga jordgubbsflingor för en god smak.
Det är enkelt att göra Husk Mage i balans till en del av din vardag. Kosttillskottet kommer i pulverform och du kan enkelt strö det över kalla rätter som exempelvis yoghurt, eller blanda ner det i smoothies, juice eller varför inte bara i vatten.
Superdupergott och stötta din maghälsa helt enkelt.
Ja, och sen kom ihåg att kosttillskott inte bör ersätta en varierad kost. Det är viktigt med en balanserad och varierad kost och hälsosam livsstil.
Vi säger tack Husk.
Och nu, kära vänner, är det dags för intervju med Dr. Khosrow Isas Nikpey här i Food Pharmacy-podden.
Welcome to the Food Pharmacy Show, Khosrow Nikpey. I'm so honored to have you here. And today we are going to talk about dietary fiber. I know you like that subject, don't you?
I love that subject. It's actually an honor for me to be on your show. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
So fiber is a nutrient we need to pay more attention to. What kind of nutrient is fiber, and where do we find it?
Yeah, it's interesting that one even calls it a nutrient, because it's actually, for us, it's not a nutrient. We can't do anything with fiber. But it's one of the most important nutrients for the bacteria that live in us. That's their food. Mm. And we'll talk about it maybe a little bit more later, but if we don't feed them, they're not happy. And when they're not happy, horrible things start happening. Mm. So it's actually the food for the bacteria. And I think you asked where does it come from? It primarily comes from almost any plant has fiber. My favorite statistic, and it's based on meta-analyses, is, and it's an easy number to remember. The question is, what's healthy? And to me, healthy is living healthier longer, not living longer, because if I live longer and unhealthy, I'm probably not necessarily that happy with my life. But if I live healthy long, then I have all the chances to have a fulfilled life. It's more in my hands. And so that's the ultimate measure that I'm personally interested in and measuring anything against. And if you look at all-cause mortality, for example, meaning we include everything, from car accidents to everything, then you can't cheat yourself, because then you say, is it actually having an impact on all causes? And 10 grams additional fiber a day reduces all-cause mortality by 10%. There is no drug on earth that can do that.
This is, you need to repeat this because it's so important. So I will make you repeat that again, please.
So if you measure every single bad thing that can happen to us, meaning death, and you say, what's the correlation with fiber? You find that a 10 gram additional fiber a day, and most of us should at least get that much more a day, 10 grams a day reduces all-cause mortality by 10%. To put it in perspective, that's many, many years of car death accidents in the U.S., the equivalent of that saved. The closest thing that sort of comes to it, but this is measured for people who are already sick and you're trying to save their lives, is statins that people get to help them against cardiovascular disease. And those are the numbers, but these are sort of, that's a drug that you give to people that are already sick and you try to save them, prolong their lives. But there's nothing you can eat or do currently, no drug produced, nothing that beats fiber. And it's crazy that we're not paying attention to it. And I think the reason is you can't patent fibers. They're free. They're everywhere. So
you can't make the same amount of money on fibers as you can on statins. I mean, how many people on earth are having statins? It's like one of the most common drugs, I think, out there. Yeah. Let's hope I not get a call from from the producer of statins after this.
I can tell you that if you're healthy and you eat a lot of fiber, the point at which you might ever need statins will be way, way, way later in life.
Yeah.
But not for everyone, because some people may have a certain genetic predisposition to something. So it's that has to be decided individually, based on sort of the medical situation that a person may have. But as a societal preventative medicine, so to speak, fiber beats anything else. Just on cardiovascular disease, 5 to 7 grams additional fiber a day reduces cardiovascular, so basically anything that has to do with heart disease, stroke, those types of things, reduces it by 10%. There's a correlation between higher fiber intake and reduction by 10%. So that's even on an individual disease, you see that correlation. And remember, correlation is not necessarily causation, meaning the two go hand in hand with each other. But when you sort of see that 5 grams has an effect and 10 grams correlates with twice the effect and 15 grams correlates with 3 times the effect, then you start believing more in causation. But of course, until you have the exact mechanism in your hand, you cannot necessarily say, yeah, I have proven that there is a causative. But the correlations are very, very strong. This is analyzed over multiple hundreds and thousands of people, meta-analyses. So across many studies, it's not just, me in my basement having done a study and having convinced myself. It's not the case. It's broad, very broad.
Talking about fiber, we often hear the word prebiotic. Would you please explain the term prebiotic?
I think they're almost synonymous, but not quite. So a prebiotic is something that fundamentally feeds your bacteria.
You mean the bacteria in the gut?
In the gut, yes. A probiotic is the actual gut bacteria, and the and the prebiotic is what feeds them. And now, fiber is not the only thing that feeds them. So therefore, prebiotic is a much broader term than fiber. But fiber is a prebiotic. But let's say recent research shows that, and that's why we're also getting quite interested in it, is there's one of the, there's a few, but one of the more common sweeteners, xylitol, is actually acts as a prebiotic. It actually gets metabolized by your bacteria, so it feads them. Whereas, let's say, erythritol does not. So the prebiotic is basically, think of it as the food for your bacteria, and then fiber is one of the most common one and the most trustable one, I would say. But it's one of them.
But going back to the white bread and compare it with fibers that goes all the way down to your gut, are all fibers prebiotic?
No, there is, you need to group, it's a good point. You need to group fibers into really two broad segments. Remember I said the carbohydrates, the long chains, the complex carbs, we can break down. The enzymes in them can cut them. Then there is soluble fiber, which generally is what gets eaten by your bacteria, and your bacteria can break them down. Then there's insoluble fiber, basically cellulose, what you find in the bark of a tree. That's also lots of sugars. It's made out of, it's also a fiber. But even your bacteria can't break them down. So they end up basically moving through your intestines. They also fulfill an important role because they can absorb sugars. They can, they work basically as some people call it, sort of the oiling of your intestines. They sort of move things through. They're quite, so they're bulking agents.
And they are like also cleaning the intestines, you could say.
Yeah, sort of. So the animals who can use them, they have to go through quite a bit of a hassle. Like cows, for example, they can eat grass and the cellulose in the grass, the insoluble fiber, but they need to have multiple stomachs with very specialized bacteria that break it down and so on and so forth. We don't have those bacteria, and therefore we cannot break them down. So it's really those two groups of fibers, the fibers that feed your bacteria, the soluble fibers, which means basically if you put them into water, they can kind of absorb enough water and they can disperse or form a gel or things like that. And then there's the insoluble fibers, which is basically cellulose at the end of the day, or lignins. So they cannot be digested by us or our friends, by our friendly bacteria, and they just pass through basically, but they fulfill a lot of important roles.
So it's important to get both soluble and not, to combine
Adina,
them.
The interesting thing, if you go back to the 70s, and a lot of the ideas in people's mindset around fiber is because in the 70s, primarily the cellulose, this the insoluble fiber was seen as important. And as sort of this thing that you should eat. And the science has moved on dramatically since then. But so people still in their minds think fiber is something that's sort of hard and grainy and fibery and things like that. But a lot of the soluble fibers, you wouldn't even notice. If it was in a glass of water, it dissolves. You wouldn't even feel anything between your teeth or, you know. So people still have a bit of the mindset of the old fiber that was the ballast, material.
But is that because when you talked about fibers back in the 70s, you talked about fibers because you wanted to have like a healthy go through the stomach, sort of, I mean, the food, or?
Yeah, people knew it was healthy. And since the two often come together, people assumed that sort of the roughage was the thing that was doing the good things, and it does. But actually, the more important one is the soluble fiber.
So why is it important to get a varied intake of fibers? And maybe you could give some example of different bacteria fed by different fibers.
Yeah, so why is it important? So that there is, I don't know if you know this story of Philip Pullman, the dark, I think it's called His Dark Materials.
No.
It's a trilogy. I think it's also made into a series and was even a movie with Nicole Kidman or something made out of the book. But there's a nice story. It's space plays in a different world where people have these, their souls, or they call them demons or something like that, which is this animal, but it's not inside of your body, but it's next to your body. And this thing sort of takes on your character, sort of is connected to you. It's a nice sort of image. But that image always struck me as our bacteria are kind of this animal that lives inside of us. As a matter of fact, we even have a brain around our gut, which functions as some kind of a intelligence. And this grouping of neurons around our gut is the same size as, you know, a squid's brain. Or half a cat's brain. So this thing is quite intelligent in that sense. It's an animal in many ways. It's just made up of cells, made up of many, many different species. And this thing is quite important, and we have to feed it the same way you would feed your pet.
Yeah.
And it interacts with you on so many dimensions. It creates certain chemicals such as short chain fatty acids, which have a huge impact on your cardiovascular health, on your immune system, on your gut health itself, appetite control, all of those things. So that's just one of the chemicals that these bacteria produce and basically put into your system. They have the little brain around your gut interacts with a big brain in your head and has all kinds of effects also on your mood. You know, there's some early studies on ADHD, positive impact on ADHD, and so on and so forth. So to come back to your question, the fiber and other phytonutrients also, so anything that gives a color to berries and things like that is also quite important for these bacteria. But basically, you are feeding these bacteria, and you have to feed them in the same responsibility that you would have towards your dog or my dog. Mm. I don't sort of go along for a day and not feed my dog. It's criminal.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's the same thing. You have to feed these bacteria. It's this living thing inside of you. Now, some voices say it may be even worse. They actually sit there and we're just a vehicle for them to move around and feed themselves, because there is about 1,000 different species of them. There's only one of us. They have about 2 million genes. We only have 25,000 genes. There's almost as many of them, some say even more of them in terms of numbers, than the cells in our body. So actually you could almost say that's the main organism. That's the main being. We're just sort of the thing to move them around the world and find food for them.
Yeah.
That's not how I see it, but I think I see it as my pet and I need to feed it. Now, what kind of bacteria there are, there's, as I said, there's 1,000 species, about 500 of them are, about 100 of them are more abundant. Nobody knows what they're exactly doing. Mm. It's a very complex system. Think of it. We have not even figured out the genetics of humans in an adequate way. And we have about 25,000 genes. There's 10 times more genes in the bacterial colonies, the bacterial groups that are in our intestines. So it's a very, very complex thing. We have a few ideas, although everything I'm stating right now is, you have to take it with a grain of salt. The science is not hard on it.
Mm.
So we have sort of big groups. I always call them ABC, ABC and F groups, like the grades you get in school. But again, take it with a grain of salt. So there's the actinobacteria, and there's the bacteroidetes, the A and the B, and they generally like to have the fiber in fruit and vegetables tend to increase their numbers.
Mm.
Now, one has to be careful. These are groups of bacteria, most of which seem to be beneficial, but not all of them. It's the same as human beings. You know, most human beings are nice, but every now and then you get a criminal also in there. So, so with these bacteria, it depends very much on the individual strain. And so when I say actinobacteria, I'm saying humanity, you know, and bacteroidetes, I'm saying all the Martians and so on and so forth. So you have to be a little bit careful, but fruit and vegetables tend to feed the A and the B bacteria, the actinobacteria and the bacteroidetes. And then there is the Clostridia, the C, and they tend to sort of prefer, so they and the B ones tend to prefer legumes and grain derived fiber. But again, as a general sort of sense, if you look at the literature, that seems to be. And then there's the Firmicutes, or Firmicutes, they're not very cute necessarily.
I read about those. They are very common in people like you and I who live in the Western world and have a Western diet.
That's right. Yeah. Again, as a very sort of, if you step way back and look at it, you kind of want to have less of them. But there's some in there that are quite important. So again, it's a bit, one has to be a little bit cautious. But the more you sort of increase the positive ones, the ones that actually help you, the more automatically you reduce the ones that are not helpful to you. And fiber in general does that. But if you can have fiber from multiple sources, then you probably have a richer set of bacteria. And there's another correlation that people see is that the more diversity you have in your bacterial species, the better for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Look at how much sort of protein has taken off. Why? Because you can link it to sexy bodies and building muscle and, you know, all of those things. If you actually look at the benefits of protein, you know, if you're a high-end sports person who actually damages their tissue, yes, protein is the thing that helps you repair it. But if you're not, you're eating already way too much protein in your day. So adding more protein won't, as a matter of fact, it loads up your body with stuff that you shouldn't be eating. So
actually, for those people, the sexy body comes through fiber. Is that what you say?
Well, that's the thing. I can prove that you live longer, but I can't. And that if that's sexy, great. But it's much easier to show you mine doesn't fit into that category. but if I did have a, you know, muscle bound body, then it's easier to get people attracted to it because we're so visually based. Whereas, you know, somebody who showing a picture of a 104-year-old because they ate lots of fiber is not as sexy as should be, but because that's great, they've had maybe a lovely life. But it's a different sort of value, and it requires people to kind of step back and say, what kind of a life do I want to live? And wow, here is something that actually does not require me to change my lifestyle. It's not hyped. It's actually, you know, I'm just feeding. That's why I'm looking for these pictures, like that little animal that you're feeding. So it almost a responsibility towards this being that you're that is inside of you. So it's more that where you kind of step back and say, you know what, it's not a big deal to eat a few more fruit a day and a whole grain bread and, you know, those types of things. Because then I get to see my family for many more years, or I get to sort of feel good inside of myself for a bit longer. So it's that, but I think it's a harder sell ultimately.
Yeah, but I think also that talking about anti-aging, that is what the whole cosmetic branch is doing. And in a way, fiber is like a natural anti-aging miracle, I would say. Maybe not miracle, but it's natural anti-aging.
It is. Yeah. But it's very hard to then sort of say, I just ate fiber a week later. Guess what? All my wrinkles went away. That won't happen.
No. Then you need to do Botox. But that I wouldn't recommend, though. So it was just a joke. So the official recommendation is to get at least 25 to 35 grams of fiber per day. But the majority of us today are not getting enough of fibers on a daily basis. So how can an increase of fiber intake decrease the risk of infection and other health conditions? This we have talked about. So then would you like to comment anything on that?
Yeah, as I said, sort of the fibers feed the bacteria and then they start a whole cascade of things inside of our bodies. And almost everything we're starting to look at, from certain cancers to cardiovascular disease to our immune system. I just put out a white paper on lung diseases, meaning caused by viruses such as flu or corona. Fiber has a significant impact on that.
You actually think then that the explosion of lifestyle-related diseases wouldn't have gone through the roof if we had maintained our high intake of fibers? I mean, our ancestors had many times more of fibers each day. And now we hardly reach 25 grams a day.
Yeah.
So would you say this is the case?
If you see the correlation, and the correlation is concentration dependent, meaning the more you eat, the better. The answer is very simple. Yes, absolutely. And if you look at also globally, so one of the things, we just have completed a study across all the data we could find in the literature. And we have looked at because, you know, if I take, let's say, a very traditional person living in a sort of pre-industrial state somewhere, you know, in the world, and I compare it to diseases of somebody in the industrialized world, you don't see much cardiovascular disease in those people. And you look at their sort of food, it's full of fiber. Full of fiber and phytonutrients. And so in the less industrial world, you might die of, let's say, diseases that are infectious, those types of diseases you might die of, but you generally don't die of cardiovascular disease. So the answer, I think, to that is yes. So that's one. But then we said, let's compare countries that are similar, because then you can find out if those who eat more fiber see an effect, because otherwise you have too many other effects that are playing into it. So we compared Japan to Italy to the US. They have similar healthcare systems. Their lifestyles are similar. The only main difference that we could find is the amount of sugar people eat and the amount of fiber people eat. And so we compared all the macronutrients as ratios. So basically, the relationship between sugar to fiber, sugar to fat, fat to complex carbs, fat to sugar, and so on and so forth. So all the main food groups. And the big correlation that we see in that order, the US, Italy, and Japan, is that the sugar to fiber ratio, which means the amount of sugar you eat for every bit of fiber that you eat, the more sugar you eat per amount of fiber that you eat, the more cardiovascular disease you have, the higher your healthcare costs, just name it, right? So and those are three countries that are somewhat comparable with each other because they're all industrialized. They all kind of have a certain certain kind of behavior. So
wow, I would say this is true. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, so that basically says And that implies something huge, because if you look at the amount of effort that goes into reducing sugar and how darn difficult it is to not eat sugar, to reduce actually your sweet tooth. You and I both know we like chocolate. I don't want to give up chocolate. I actually really don't want to give up chocolate.
Me neither. I've tried,
and it's a pleasure in life. And so I'm not advocating that people eat sugar. But what I'm saying is it's actually not the sugar we should focus on. It's the ratio between sugar. And the way I'm saying it is if you look at the data, it's a very simple thing. For this much fiber, you're allowed to eat this much sugar.
Okay, so now you're pointing at one finger and saying for one finger, sugar,
you can eat this many fingers of, one finger of fiber, you can get, you're allowed to eat this much sugar.
Ja, när Lina och Khosrow hade det här samtalet så hade de även video på. Och vid det här tillfället så håller alltså Khosrow upp ett antal fingrar för att visa Lina. Och det är 4 stycken. Så 1 finger för fiber mot 4 för socker.
That's about what's in a fruit. A fruit has this much sugar. A lot of people say, oh, fruit is not healthy because it has sugar. Yes, you're right. The sugar in the fruit is no different than the white table sugar that you put into your tea or coffee. There's no difference between them. They're both bad for you. But fruit comes with fiber. And that undoes that. Because if you look at fruit, it correlates with healthy numbers. So we know that this much sugar for this much fiber is totally fine. And so if you can basically increase the fiber, then you undo a lot of the damage that sugar does. And I think it's much easier to increase fiber in our diet than tax sugar and tell people not to eat sweet things and so on and so forth. I can tell you for myself, and I'm dealing with this every day, and the guilt is all over me for every bit of sugar that I'm eating. I ain't giving up chocolate. It just won't happen. No. But I'm eating a ton of fiber, and in a sense, I could care less.
That's a good way of putting it. You know, we usually say that focus on what you could add instead of what you could exclude.
Perfect.
So, I mean, then am I going too far when claiming that a daily increase of fiber could even help to lower the great costs for our public healthcare that we see today?
I am convinced that that's the case on many fronts. So, fiber, we didn't talk about it, but it has an positive effect on weight management. So obesity is right now going through the roof, most worryingly obesity in children. It's in places like the U.S., it's at epidemic levels, but in Europe is not far behind. Sweden isn't, relatively speaking, within Europe in good shape, but still, 20% obesity is still a very high number.
Yes.
The cost in the UK, and this is the actual cost. This is not, let's say, if you have to employ somebody to widen the doors of hospitals so you can fit people through because they're so obese, I'm not even counting that as cost because it puts someone to work. It's good for your GDP. To speak, it's bad for your health. Now, true cost, we're talking something like 20 to 30 billion. So that's 1% of GDP. That is huge. And only increasing. That just on diabetes, on obesity, which are correlated with each other. And then you have all the cardiovascular diseases, you have all the cancers and so on and so forth. Yeah, absolutely. I think now the burden of proof have shifted. If anybody says that that's not the case, they have to prove it to me because the evidence is overwhelming.
So thank you so much, Khosrow, for spending time with me here and giving me so much knowledge about fiber. And I'm happy to be able to share this with all the listeners out there. And I hope you've had a wonderful hour. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lina.
Ja, men visst var det väldigt intressant det här. Det är faktiskt så att Han sa ännu mer spännande saker under den här intervjun, och vill ni höra precis allt så kan ni göra det i vår engelska podd som kommer senare i höst. Där kommer alltså intervjun finnas i sin helhet. Ja, innan vi avslutar så måste jag ju bara påminna om våra två nya produkter. Våra fantastiska kosttillskott som alltså heter Gut Flora och Gut Flora Fibers. Som finns mer att läsa om på nutrienthunter.se. Om ni inte har koll, gå in och skaffa er det genast. Du har lyssnat på Food Pharmacy-podden med Lina Närtby och Mia Klase, och idag även med den eminenta gästen Dr. Khosro Isas Nikpay. Jag heter Sebastian Ring och står för redigering och musik och lite annat smått och gott. Vill du ha mer av Food Pharmacy? Ja, självklart vill du det. Ja, då hittar du oss på foodpharmacy.se och på Instagram under namnet food_pharmacy. Hej då!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.